All right, take your Bibles, please, and I invite you to turn to Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews chapter 12, and our text verses will be verses 14 and 15. We're preaching a series of messages, as you know, on getting a handle on your emotions. Tonight, we want to deal with the blight of bitterness. The blight, and that's what it is, of bitterness. I'll tell you, bitterness will destroy your joy. Bitterness will prevent revival. Bitterness will bring brokenheartedness in the family. Divorce, argument, all of those things go along with it. Bitterness will keep you from understanding this book. Bitterness will keep you from being a soul winner. Bitterness is a bad thing. Hebrews 12, verse 14, follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. Looking diligently, carefully, meticulously, looking diligently, lest any man fail of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby many be defiled. Now we need to hear and listen carefully to the blessed book, to the Word of God. Bitterness is hostility. Bitterness is caustic. Bitterness makes a person critical. You show me a fault-finding person, and I'll show you a person normally that is a very bitter person for some reason. Bitterness will make you aloof. Bitterness will make you cool. Bitterness will make you disinterested. Bitterness will cause people to not participate, not stay involved. And there are many other things I could say about it. But let me remind you that Hebrews was written primarily to born-again believers. So that's a reminder to all of us that bitterness can be in our lives if we're not careful. It was written to Christians. We're not immune. We can have sour saints. We can have caustic Christians. We can have bitter brothers and sisters in the Lord. And God is not pleased with that. Now he talks about the root of bitterness. Again in verse 15, he says, looking diligently, lest any man fail of the grace of God, lest any root, underscore that word in your Bible, root. Any root of bitterness. We want to look first of all at the root of bitterness. Why do people get bitter? Usually, it's because somebody hurt you. Somebody did something to you that you really didn't like. I've met people that are bitter at God. I've met people that are bitter at society. I've certainly met people that are bitter at individuals. And I got to confess, I've met a few that are bitter at me. And still bitter. I can't imagine why anybody would be bitter at me or angry with me. But it is a fact that it happens. Husbands and wives are bitter at each other. And that's a sad thing. Colossians says, husbands, love your wives. How can you love them and be bitter at them? You can't do it. It's an impossibility. The better half has become the bitter half in a lot of marriages. Amen? That's not a good thing, as you would know it from the Word of God. There is all kinds of hurt. There's intentional hurt. Somebody intentionally on purpose hurt you. There is unintentional hurt, where somebody unintentionally hurt you. They may not even know that they hurt you. There's a whole lot of something, a hurt going around called imagined hurt. It really wasn't there, but you just imagine it to be so. So you think it's there. We as Christians think it's there. By the way, all of us are going to get hurt. It's going to happen to you. You're going to get hurt. Somebody's going to hurt you. And the natural reaction is to get angry when somebody hurts you. The natural reaction is to get even with those people. But we are Christians, and when we do that, we should know that we are wrong when we're trying to get even with somebody. What we need to do is deal with it and get over it. Amen? Deal with the anger and bitterness and get over it. A bitter person, somebody who is angry about these things, doesn't really get rid of it. That's what happens. You know what happens when you don't get rid of it? It's going to cause some hurt. And one of the things that's going to happen, the person that it's going to hurt is going to be you. You're the one, first of all, that's going to be hurt. And that person is a person that is going to really get upset, really get mad, and really get angry because somebody somehow, somewhere along the way, hurt their feelings. But a bitter person is just like that. Now, what a bitter person is going to do is try to hurt you. A bitter person will watch you after they get angry at you. Have you ever had anybody do that? You know. You know, because they got angry at you, they're watching every move you make, every step that you make. You know why? They want to find fault with you. And they take a negative disposition about that, and they are going to find faults. You know why they're going to find faults? Because everybody has faults. Now, you can find faults if you want to find fault. You can find in life what you are looking for. What are you looking for tonight? If you're looking for fault because of anger and bitterness, you're going to find it. As a matter of fact, if you came here tonight at this service and you're looking for something to criticize and something to find fault with, you will, and probably already have. Didn't like this or didn't like that or didn't like the other or something. Fault finders, people who are angry, people who are bitter. If you are that kind of person, you attend Worth Baptist Church long enough, you're going to find some fault with Worth Baptist Church. You know why? It's a human organization. No church is perfect, and if you find one, for God's sake, don't join it. You'll mess it up. Amen? There are just no perfect churches out there. They are not there. But let me tell you something. If you're looking for a blessing, guess what? You can get a blessing. You can absolutely get a blessing. It can happen. And you can find that too. A bitter person is hurt, and they're going to look for something to criticize. You can count on it. They'll do it on the way home to their wife, on the way home to their husband, or in front of their children. God help you parents that are bitter and angry about something, and you criticize the church and the preacher and the staff in front of your children. You're a knucklehead. You're spiritually wrong, if I can put it in those terms. That certainly is not biblical for somebody to do that. Now, bitterness is going to bring out the worst in that person. And they're going to look at you and try to bring out the worst in you. They're bitter. They're going to find fault. They're going to try to make you be at fault if they can. And everybody who is bitter at somebody knows that person's hot button. They know exactly what it takes to make you mad. And they're bitter, and they want to make you mad, and they enjoy doing that. And so they push that hot button, and they get the response they want. And they get under your skin. They like getting under your skin because they're angry and they're bitter. And they react with hostility to him or to her or whoever it may be. When he does, then it only confirms your bitterness. When you're provocative like that, you're angry, and you just push people and push their hot button and make them fly off the handle and get under their skin, you're advertising something, and that is that you are bitter, and it just confirms it. Now, I've found that very few people admit they're bitter. Very few. Some are and just don't admit it. But it is an underground sin, that's why, lest any root, an underground sin of bitterness. And so many times, because it's an underground sin, we don't deal with it. What do? We deny it. Many times we disguise it. Oh, we're great pretenders. And otherwise, we just disregard it. Anna Russell wrote this, and I'll read it to you. Says, I went to my psychiatrist to be psychoanalyzed to find out why I killed my cat and blackened my wife's eyes. He put me on a downy couch to see what he could find, and this is what he dredged up from my subconscious mind. When I was one, my mommy hid my dolly in the trunk, and so it follows naturally that I'm always drunk. When I was two, I saw my father kiss the maid one day, and that's why I suffer now from kleptomania. That didn't rhyme too good, but you get the point. When I was three, I suffered ambivalence from my brothers, and so it follows naturally that I poison all my lovers. I'm so glad I've learned the lesson it has taught that everything I do is someone else's fault. And some people just feel that way, don't they? It's somebody else's fault. A bitter person is usually just like that. They look for fault to reconfirm the hostility and the madness that they have and the self-pity that they want. Someone said it this way: the root of bitterness grows in the soil of hurt that has not been properly dealt with. The root of bitterness grows in the soil of hurt that has not been properly dealt with. So that's the root of the problem. Secondly, the fruit of the problem. What about the fruit of bitterness? Verse 15, he says, looking diligently, lest any man fail of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up. Those are the words I want you to see. The fruit of bitterness springing up like a plant. Springing up is what he's talking about. Every root has a fruit. And so here's the root of bitterness. Well, they hurt you first, and that bothers you, that troubles you, and so that hurt begins to produce fruit. You know what the fruit is? It's contagious. Did you know bitterness is contagious? If you are angry and bitter about something, and we're going to really hone in here in a minute and tweak right into where we live, but if you have bitterness and anger, it's very contagious. And what does he say? When it springs up, this fruit, and thereby many be what? Defiled. The root brings the fruit, and the fruit causes defilement when there is anger and bitterness. How? Well, it brings personal trouble to the person that is bitter, and it also brings social trouble to that person. Let's look at the personal trouble first of all. When you allow bitterness to come up and have that fruit in your life, there's going to be personal results and trouble. There's a book I'd like to recommend to you. I have it in my library, and some of you probably do. The title of it is None of These Diseases. None of These Diseases. S.I. Macmillan, who is a medical doctor, wrote this book. There are at least 50 diseases that they can trace back to being emotionally caused, from mental problems, psychological problems, spiritual stress, all of those different things. A physiologist by the name of Dr. John Hunter said this: I'm at the mercy of any scoundrel. I'm at the mercy of any scoundrel who can make me mad. He can kill me. He made that statement publicly, and later at a medical meeting, a man stood up and questioned him and made some statements about him that were not true, and he got mad and angry like a good Baptist would do. And whenever he did, he used vindictive words that were on his lips. He castigated that man, said some unkind things. He just absolutely exploded and fell dead right on the spot. He prophesied his own death. Because he knew, as a physiologist, that blood vessels, when they constrict like that, when you're that mad and that angry, because of the anger, that can kill you. May not get to it the first time, but it can do it. In his case, he was aware of that condition, and it did. Now, it may not affect you that way, may not affect me that way, and obviously it hadn't most of us or all of us, because you wouldn't be here tonight if it had. But it could, and it might do it in the future. We don't know. But I'm not saying tonight that every person who is bitter is sick, or every sick person is bitter. But here's what I am saying, and I think it can clearly be proven and has been proven by medical doctors, that every bitter person, if he doesn't eventually deal with that anger and bitterness, is going to be sicker than he or she ought to be. If they don't deal with it in the Spirit of God. And a lot of people are sick because of that. Dr. Macmillan says, If you let someone make you angry, or you get bitter towards someone, you become their slave. Absolutely, that's true. If you let it overcome you and you let that bitterness take you over, you become that person's slave. He said, the moment I start hating a man, I become his slave. I can't enjoy my work anymore because he controls my thoughts. My resentment produces too much stress hormones in my body, and I become fatigued after only a few hours of work. The work I normally enjoyed is now a drudgery. Even vacations cease to give me pleasure. It may be a luxurious car that I drive along a lake, fringed with autumn beauty of maple and oak and birch. As far as my experience of pleasure is concerned, I might as well be driving a wagon in mud and rain. Talking about if I'm bitter. The man I hate hounds me wherever I go. I cannot escape his tyrannical grasp on my mind. When the waiter serves me porterhouse steak with french fries, asparagus, I don't know how that got in there, and crisp salad and strawberry shortcake smothered with ice cream, it might as well be a stale bread. And my teeth chew the food and swallow it, but the man I hate will not permit me to enjoy it. That's bad, isn't it? That's a medical doctor telling us about it, talking about his own self. King Solomon in Proverbs 15:17 said this, Better is a dinner of green herbs where love is, than a stalled ox and hatred therewith. Better is a dinner of spinach rather than a great big old nice steak where there's love is rather than where there is no love. Dr. McMillan goes on to say, the man I hate may be many miles from my bedroom, but more cruel than any slave driver. He whips my thoughts into such a frenzy that my inner spring mattress becomes a rack of torture. The lowliest of the servants can sleep, but not I. I really must acknowledge the fact that I am a slave to every man on whom I pour the vials of my wrath. That's so true. Listen, to the very same degree you hold resentment to anyone. Listen to this. The very same degree that you hold resentment to anyone, you are that person's slave. So if you have a lot of resentment, you're a whole lot their slave. And I believe the Bible clearly teaches that. And there's going to be physical trouble, there's going to be emotional trouble, and there'll be spiritual trouble. Verse 14, look at what the Bible says to us. In verse 14, he says, follow peace with all men and holiness. Two things. Follow peace and holiness. God tells us we cannot have hellishness in our mind and heart and have holiness in our mind and heart at the same time. You cannot do it. It is impossible. Now what does he say? There's going to be social defilement. Back in verse 15, many are going to be defiled. Turn, if you will, just a second. Keep your place there if you can mark it. And go to Ephesians 4. Ephesians chapter 4 and look at beginning with verse 26. Ephesians 4:26, as God enlightens on this particular passage in another place. He says in verse 26, be angry and sin not. And let not the sun go down upon your wrath. Neither give place or foothold or toehold to the devil. And then he goes on to tell some things that we shouldn't do. And let no corrupt communication, verse 29, proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, not tearing down, building up, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you are sealed unto the day of redemption. Those are some good instructions to you and to me as believers tonight. Anger is not always sin. You say, boy, I'm glad you said that, preacher, because all of mine is in that category. Anger is not always sin. Jesus got angry, did he not? He got angry at the money changers and threw the tables over. I mean, he was angry. Did Jesus sin? Absolutely not. By the way, who was he the hardest on? the unbelievers or the hypocritical so-called believers in the religious crowd? Who was he the hardest on? We were talking about that in our staff retreat the other day, and Brother Johnson was saying, you know, he was always harder on those Pharisees and Sadducees and the hypocrites. And that is absolutely true. To those who are unsaved, compassionate. But to those who are playing games and those who are religious and those who are Pharisees, he said, you whitewashed sepulchers. You have a sepulcher, a cave that is filled with dead men's bones. Boy, he was tough on them, wasn't he? That was our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. So forgive me when I get a little straight when I preach sometimes, all right? But all of this, Jesus' anger was channeled for the right reason, and it was not out of bitterness that he was doing it. It was out of what was righteous indignation in the very heart of God Almighty in the form of the Lord Jesus Christ. And he never was bitter or angry at anybody that mistreated him personally. That's where we get mad. It's when we get hurt. But Jesus was never that way. In fact, he let them crucify him. And while they were coming to crucify him, and while it was going on, he said, Father, kill him. That's what a good Baptist would say, right? Father, get him. Smack him. Knock him down. Oh, he said in his tender, loving heart, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. They don't realize what they're doing. That was our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Now, when does anger become sin? Well, what does he say here? Let not the sun go down on your wrath. Some of you have already missed it today. You missed it coming to church. You had a fuss on the way. Got angry or something, didn't you? Somebody may have. Or it may have happened sometime recently or today, but you hadn't gotten it out of your crawl, hadn't gotten it out of your system. But he says, here's the standard. Let not the sun go down on your wrath. That's what happens. We live with it. We take it to bed with us. We nourish it subconsciously while we're sleeping. We feed it. We cherish it. We go to bed with it, and then we awaken the next morning with it there again. Bitterness and anger. And so in verse 27 of Ephesians, he says, neither give place to whom? To the devil. You see, when we have bitterness or anger in our lives for any period of time, did you know we're cooperating with the greatest enemy we have, the devil? We are giving place to the devil. Just like in your thought life, if you carry it too far, you give place to the devil. If you get angry and bitter at somebody over anything, whatever it may be, and you don't deal with that thing, then you are giving Satan a place. And when he gets a toehold, he gets a foothold. And when he gets a foothold, he's going to get a stronghold in your life. And he'll whip the tar out of you as a Christian. Because it is allowed. Now what happens? Verse 31, he tells us that this is going to spread. It spreads. Look at it, what he's talking about. Step one, you have anger, you're bitter at somebody. Step two, you let the sun go down on your wrath. Step three, you have this bitterness in your life. And step four, what does he mention? Wrath. Let all bitterness and wrath. That's the second thing he mentions here. He's going to give us a list of things that we need to get rid of and we need to forgive people because of those things they've done to us. Wrath literally means hotness inside. That's really what the word means. The Greek word means getting hot down on the inside. The best way I know to illustrate it, it's slow burning. It's smoldering down on the inside. It's sort of like putting some oily rags in a waste can and taking them into a closet, lighting them, not making a fire, but just enough so that they begin to smolder and closing the door on it and not letting it get out, not dealing with it. That's what he's talking about here. Now, another step he talks about is anger. There's bitterness, and then wrath, and then anger. What does he mean? Anger is that outward explosion. There you have the other, and then you have the wrath, and now you have the anger. And what he's talking about here is you open the door to those smoldering flames that are down in there, in those dirty rags, and that hotness of your heart that is there, and then all of a sudden there's a major temper tantrum and you just absolutely explode. What happens is you open the door on that closet and the oxygen gets in and it explodes. And then the sixth thing he mentions here is clamor. Look at it. Bitterness, wrath. Let all bitterness, wrath, anger, and clamor. What is clamor? Well, that has to do with the tongue, doesn't it? Uh-oh. I told you we're going to tweak this thing a little bit. That has to do with the tongue. That's vocal. That's when we get into these smart aleck war of words. These harsh words that come into whatever that relationship is with whomever it is with. Step 7, he says, evil speaking. Evil speaking. We need to get rid of evil speaking. What does that mean? Well, that goes on past the clamoring and the tongue. It goes past the argument stage until we get to the point there's name calling. And here are some of the things that are said. I hate you. Absolutely, I hate you. You ever heard somebody say that? I wish we had never gotten married. I wish I had not married you. Things we say we'll be sorry for later on. I'm sorry I ever met you. I wish you were dead. You are a liar. You see, that's the tongue giving the devil place, right? That's not of the Lord. That's not of the Spirit of God. And then step number 8, what does he mention? Malice. Put away from you with all malice. He sort of hangs that out there. You know why I believe he does? Because that's the worst one. What is malice? Malice is this. I want to harm you. I'm going to get even with you. I somehow am going to make you pay for injuring me and hurting me. That's why the writer to the Hebrews says, please watch out, or these things will be true if you don't get rid of those things. And it's going to hurt you physically. It's going to hurt you emotionally. It will hurt you spiritually. And it's going to hurt other people. You don't just hurt yourself, friend, when you get angry and bitter. You hurt other people. And so it becomes very cancerous at home, at church, in society, in business. Then thirdly, the pursuit of bitterness. What do we do about all that? The pursuit of bitterness. Go back to Hebrews 12:15 again and look at what he says. Looking diligently, lest any man fall of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby may be defiled. What is he saying here? There's root, and then there's fruit, and there's the pursuit. And underscore that word diligently. In verse 15, looking how? Diligently. Looking how? Carefully. Looking carefully, lest any man fail of the grace of God. We've got to deal with it and look at it very, very diligently and very, very carefully as he speaks to us in his word. You see, the root is underground, and that means you got to search for it. You got to find it. You find that root underground, and you pull it up, and you pursue it. You're thinking, maybe some of you right now, well, I just wonder if those old bitter people are really listening to what the pastor's saying. Listen, I want to tell you something. The Holy Spirit, I believe, wants to do some radical surgery on you and me tonight. On our own lives. And that's why we need, listen to me, Christian, please hear this. You need to look deep. Deep. Real, real deep. And that's the Spirit of God to show you if there's something there that does not belong there, and He's going to reveal it to you. Something you never realized before, maybe. Something you never admitted before. Something that may even go back to your childhood. And somehow you don't even recognize or realize that that's part of the reason you're the way you are. You may be aware of it, you may not be, but I'm saying ask the Spirit of God to do it. We need to pursue it diligently. Why? Very quickly. So we can recognize it. You can't get healed unless you have a proper diagnosis. And so many people say, I'm not a bitter person. I've never been a bitter person. And yet they're hiding behind a mask, a facade that is there. I heard about a preacher and a deacon who was out golfing. And so they would hit their shots, and you know, finally the deacon said to the preacher, "Preacher, I don't understand." He said, "You make some of those bad shots, and you duff the ball, and you slice it, and you hook it, and you miss a putt," and said, "You just keep on smiling. You seem so gracious. Seems like it doesn't disturb you." But he said, "When I slice a ball, or I hit it wrong, or I go over the green and all of that," he said, "I just can't hide it. I just can't control it. I just absolutely can't help it showing all over me." And the preacher looked at him and said, "Yeah, I understand what you're saying. I know it. But everywhere I spit, the grass dies." You don't understand what he's saying? It's really there in him too. And that's the way it is with a lot of people. Recognize it. We've got to recognize it. The worst thing in the world for a member of Worth Baptist Church is to be a Sunday school teacher, choir member, somebody serving, living a good life, tithing and doing all of those things, and down underneath there is some kind of anger that has not been dealt with, or some kind of bitterness that has not been dealt with. You know what you're actually doing by all of those good works? You're actually pruning the tree. And the more you prune the tree, the deeper the roots go. Instead of dealing with it, we strengthen the roots. And if you don't give it up and deal with it, I'm telling you, there'll be consequences. Secondly, very quickly, we pursue it to remove it. We pursue it so we can recognize it and deal with it, and we pursue it to remove it. Root it out. How are you going to root it out, preacher? Ephesians 4:32, "And be ye kind." God always has the answer. "Be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another." Watch this. It's important. "Even as God, for Christ's sake, hath forgiven you." Does that mean anything to you? Here's what he's saying. Forgive fully. Aren't you glad God forgives us fully? Totally, completely, and fully. You say, "Well, that's not fair. They deserve my wrath. They deserve to what I'm giving to them." No, they don't. "Vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. I will do the repaying." You leave that in the hands of God, and God will take care of you. So, well, it's hard. Let me ask you a question. Was Calvary hard? Was Calvary hard? I say Calvary was hard, but he did it for what reason? The joy that was set before him. What was that joy? That he could forgive us of our sins. That's our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. What about memory? Somebody said, "Well, I can't forget it." But God's never expected or asked us to forget it. But I'm telling you, when you get it right, you don't look at it the same way when it comes up again. There's the difference. You say, "Well, I just can't forget it." Okay. We have a brain, and it registers, and it stays there. But if you get it right and turn it over to God, when it comes up again, and you think about it again, you'll have the victory, and it'll be different in your life. Pursue it also to replace it. Hebrews 12:14, again, he says, "Follow peace." What are we supposed to do? Follow peace with all men in holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. We need to leave it in God's hands and trust God to take care of it. What he's saying is, get the bitterness out. Get it out. Get the anger out. Get the grudges out. Get any issue you have with anybody anywhere at any time in your past, get it straightened out. Get bitterness out. Get right with God. And do it now. Do it now. By the way, it's not enough just to be right with God. But he says we ought to be right with our brother. Follow peace with how many men? All men. Be right with God, and be right with each other. Be right with all men. That is part of it. Beware of the root of bitterness. Let's stand, please. Our heads are bowed. While our heads are bowed, I would invite you and encourage you to pray this prayer. Lord, show me. Some of you know you've been bitter and angry at somebody. A former mate, a mother-in-law, a father-in-law, a child. Something went wrong. Maybe God. Maybe some former pastor. Somebody let you down. Some other Christian that hurt you. Friend, ask God to show you if you've been bitter, and he'll reveal it to you. Just pray that prayer and say, God, if there's anything, bring it to my heart. Bring it to my mind tonight so I can deal with it. And you'll be glad if you will remove the root. And the only way to remove the root is to confess it. And that's the only way to get saved and come to Christ, is to realize you've rejected Him and maybe there's some issue or bitterness there or whatever it may be. You need to come to Him and trust Him as your Savior. Father, bless now the invitation. I pray that we would be honest enough with the Word of God and what the Spirit of God has shown us during this message, that we'd deal with it and not be too proud, too ashamed. Lord, help us to know if we don't, it's going to hurt us. It's going to hurt others. It's going to hurt our families. It's going to hurt our church. All of our relationships are going to be hurt, not just us. Help us, oh God, to be a forgiving people. Lord, I would imagine there's some people in this very congregation tonight who have had an issue with some other Christian in this congregation over something that has just recently come up, maybe. Please, please, help us to deal with those things and get it right tonight. Lord, may your will be done in our lives. Help us to remember that we cannot have wickedness in our heart and the peace and blessings of God at the same time. It won't work. If somebody's here without Christ, I pray you'd save them in Jesus' name.